everyone. Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. This is episode 7 in season 2. I'm your host, Lindsay Nixon from getmealplans.com. Super, super excited about today's guest. She's really cool and really fun, and she has a really interesting history that I can't wait to kind of pick her brain about. But also, she had kind of the journey a lot of us have where we don't do it right out the gate, and health kind of brings us here. So I'm really excited to have her talk to us about that and some other really fun topics. So I'll just dive in and go ahead and welcome her. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
We're so happy to have you here. So when you and I were talking, the reason we're coming on the podcast was to talk about some health issues that led you to become more whole foods, plant-based, no oil. But before we get into all of that, I was reading that you used to be in the military.
Yes, I was in the Air Force.
And so where were you stationed when you were in the military?
Boot camp was in San Antonio, Texas, which is where I'm originally from. And then I did water survival in Florida, land survival in Washington State. And then my first actual duty station was in Okinawa, Japan.
So you were stationed in Asia?
Yes.
Well, everyone who knows a little bit, I mean, whether they know a little or a lot about the plant-based diet, is we often hear about that specific area of Japan and Asia and how people are very thin because they eat predominantly a plant-based diet with a lot of rice and vegetables. What were your sort of, what did you observe of the culture there? Like, tell us the truth.
Okinawa is a really small tropical island, and it was inhabited by a lot of military. So it kind of had a lot of American aspects in, even though it was in Japan. You know, you would actually still find a lot of like McDonald's and fast food, but you also found, you know, just so much Okinawan culture. And so the people there, they are mostly relatively very thin, and they live to be, you know, well into their 80s and 90s and active. You always see mostly the older Okinawans walking up and down the street. You never really see them driving in cars. They're always just very active and at a very older age.
That's amazing. And that's one of the things when you study anything about plant-based, they talk a lot about the Okinawans, but specifically that they have such a high percentage of octogenarians, which is a really cool word for someone who's over 80 or in their 80s. Mm-hmm. But these people aren't just living to being 80. Like you said, they're walking, and they're really walking. It's not like they're hobbling down the street. Like, they're living truly full-bodied, active lives.
Yes. Yes, they really are. And they're all feisty too, so they have a lot of spunk left in them. So it was very inspiring being there.
And so, is it true what, you know, we're always hearing that they eat, you know, sweet potatoes and rice and just a whole lot of vegetables and not really all this American crap?
Right. Yeah. No, they definitely do eat more whole food, plant based, than we do. It was what I noticed, that was definitely the younger Okinawans that were eating more of the Americanized food.
It's interesting you say that, because Dr. McDougall, who often, you know, mentions and refers to the Okinawans when he's talking, actually said when he was living in Hawaii, which, as a lot of us know, Hawaii does have a very strong Asian population, but he would notice that too, where it was the younger generations would be, I think he says, a little fatter and a little sicker because they were adopting more and more American food versus the older generations. Just even though it was available to them, they continued eating the way, you know, they had been raised in their prior town or village or whatever. But like, mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you saw the exact same thing, except there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Amazing. But anyway, so coming back to why we originally, I was so excited to have you on the podcast, is you had told me that you were diagnosed with early menopause. And as I was saying to you before, when you first told me this, I kind of got this image in my head. And then when I actually saw your picture and realized how incredibly young you are, I was shocked. I was like, holy cow. I mean, this woman looks like she's 28 years old. How could she have early menopause? So maybe you can tell us about that and how it sort of led you down a road of eating healthier. And I know we're going to definitely talk about how you were vegan for a while. And anyway, just jump in and start kind of giving us your history.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of weird to me to even think that I'm menopausal, but you know, it is what it is. So growing up, or when I started my menstrual cycle, I was always really active in middle school and in high school, running track and cross country. So my doctors always told me that, you know, I would skip periods all the time, like go three to 4 months without one. My doctors told me it was always because I was so active. And I held on to that up until, you know, I completely lost my period. And I was actually 28 when I went a full 6 months without one.
Wow,
and
then that's really young.
So I had, I think it was two in a row. It was six months. They were 6 months apart. And then it went a full 18 months. And that's when it was finally just cut off, like completely. Yeah. So I think the summer of 2014 when all the hot flashes started coming in and then the night sweat and, you know, my mood swings, it was crazy. And that's when it finally like kind of said in my head, like, you know what, this sounds like, you know, my symptoms seem like menopausal. So I started doing a bunch of research, and then I had asked my physician at the time, I'm like, is there something we can do to find out, you know, what's going on with me? I haven't had period. And she had told me that they can't fully, like, officially diagnose me without blood tests and without my period actually being absent for over 1 year. And when I went to my physician at the time, I just got a really weird vibe. And that's when I started looking for a plant-based physician. And I actually found her, my current physician, on your website.
Right. And that's so awesome. And it gives me a chance to say, if you're looking for a plant-based physician, or at least a physician that understands and is accepting of the plant-based diet, there's a great plant-based doctors list on happyherbivore.com. And I'm so excited, Sarah, that you were able to find a local physician from that list.
I could not believe it. Seriously, when I found her on there, I was so excited, and that she was accepting new patients, and that she's literally a mile and a half down the road.
Oh, wow. So, you really hit the jackpot.
I mean, I was thinking all the stars in the sky when this happened to me. So, and when I went to talk to her, she did all the blood tests. She was so personable. She really got me eating potatoes, sweet potatoes, like every day. She recommends them for hot flashes, even though she even says that, you know, kind of, it could be a myth. It works for some people. It doesn't work for others, you know, but it seems to work for me because I haven't had a hot flash in at least 6 months now.
Oh, so that's good to know. Yeah, we definitely have some older lady members that email me about hot flashes. And so I'll definitely tell them about the sweet potatoes. And who doesn't want to eat a sweet potato anyway?
Right. I think I had like a pound of them for lunch today. So
yum.
that's really it. It's just been a roller coaster, you know, getting used to it, figuring out what works for me. But the plant-based lifestyle has definitely helped. I cut back, well, completely now on meat and cheese. It's completely out of my diet. Oil now, too. I absolutely took that out, which has helped me lose a lot of weight. But I definitely think that this plant-based lifestyle has helped tremendously. And my doctor agrees.
That's awesome. And coming back to sort of your experience with Okinawa, that's another thing that I see a lot of times. A lot of the plant-based doctors are referencing that women, older women in these other countries outside of sort of North America, they really don't have this. They don't really suffer from all these night sweats and hot flashes, and, you know, the change isn't really a curse to them. It's not to say they don't maybe have some things happen, but it seems to be, like you said, there's something in the food, and they do eat sweet potatoes. So maybe that's the secret. But it's very interesting to hear, you know, the more closer we get to sort of their diet, the better we feel.
Yeah. It is. It really is.
So one thing I really appreciated you when we were talking before is you were so honest that, so you had lost a whole lot of weight maybe not going in the most healthy approach. I know you said you were basically like on a bodybuilder's diet, which is kind of like a low carb diet, I'm sure. And you lost a lot of weight, but then you met someone who really inspired you to try a vegan or a plant-based diet, and you followed Eat to Live for a while, and you gained your weight back. And so I think people don't ever want to talk about that. You know, you can do the plant-based or a vegan diet wrong, just like you can do any kind of lifestyle wrong. And that happens. Sometimes people go vegan thinking they're going to lose weight and they gain. I struggled with my weight for a long time because I just needed to grasp some truths. And so I thought maybe you could tell us about your sort of experience and what happened.
Yeah, my husband was in the Marine Corps for about 10 years, and then his on his last deployment, I actually went to stay with his aunt and uncle, who actually live in Pennsylvania as well. At the time, we were stationed in California. And that's when I was really, you know, picking up, you know, just getting really interested in nutrition and trying to understand everything. And what I was reading was, you know, if you want to lose weight, you need to work out, but you also need to include a lot of protein, very little carbs, and then make sure you eat your veggies. So that's basically what I started doing. And then, so when he deployed, I joined a local gym that had a daycare for my kids, and they provided daycare for 2 hours every day, any time of day. So that was really nice. So I was working out 5 days a week for 2 hours for like 9 months straight while he was gone. And then I was eating 4 to 5 ounces of chicken breast or turkey at every meal. And then, you know, some type of healthy fat thrown in a complex carb for snack time in between those meals. So I was getting a lot of calories. I was working out. I was burning so much. So I was losing weight. I went from, I think I was at 175, and I dropped in like 6 months, I dropped 40 pounds.
Wow.
I was down to I went down to 135, and looking back, I see pictures. I mean, I looked good. I was surprised. I had the muscle. I felt okay, except, I mean, I was trying to lose more weight, and I felt like it just wasn't coming off. And I contribute that now to probably just the excess protein that I was eating. I mean, it was just probably ridiculous, 150, 200 grams a day of protein.
Holy cow.
And I know, I can't even imagine doing that now. I think I hit like 40 to 50 grams a day now, which is perfect for me. I feel great now. But also, I was drinking every single night. I was having, you know, several glasses of wine with my aunt and uncle, and then they were big scotch drinkers, so I was drinking as well. And anyway, I mean, so I was done for about 9 months total. And my cousin, at the time, her fiance, his sister was a registered dietitian, but she was also vegan. And she was the first vegan that I had ever met. And I was just kind of intrigued with the whole diet and the lifestyle of being vegan. So I got to know her, and she would come over for the different occasions that we had people over, and she'd bring all these great, just amazing dishes that I just loved, except that they were high in carbohydrates.
And which you were scared of, and where's the protein?
Right. So I was kind of like, oh, I want to eat more, but I know that, you know, this is not what every other book I've read has told me to do, but, you know, limit your carbs. And so I started doing a lot of research into vegan diet and plant-based diet, and just somehow I came across Eat to Live, Dr. Furman, and I was so intrigued by all his research, and so I ordered all, I have all the books sitting right here next to me, just, and I actually, my father has diabetes. I sent him the reverse diabetes book to him too, just, you know.
And for people who aren't familiar with Eat to Live, it is a predominantly plant-based philosophy, but he focuses mainly on like green and yellow vegetables, like greens and zucchini, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and nuts. It's still kind of low carb in the sense, because there's not like rice and potatoes.
Right. Yeah. He what I think it's 2 servings of complex carb or starchy vegetables or rice and stuff like that. I believe it's 2 servings a day is what he recommends, which is completely different from what I do now. But yeah, so I actually went cold turkey. I decided to go vegan and I started following Dr. Berman's Eat to Live and, you know, making sure I get the G-bombs, the greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds in every day. So I did that and it lasted. I held on to it for probably a couple months and then I fell off and I had, you know, meat and cheese here and there. But I never stopped researching the plant-based and vegan lifestyle and that way of eating. And then I had lost that weight and then we moved back to California when my husband came back from Afghanistan and I stopped working out so crazy. And I put basically all that weight right back on, even though I felt like I was eating very healthy. I was taking in a lot of nuts and seeds and avocados. So I think maybe that's where I kind of had my trip up, and also not really counting calories. I have no idea how many calories I was eating. It was, you know, one of those things that he said you never really had to count. You could eat as long as you ate within the guidelines. You can have as much as you want. So,
and we all know that got me in big trouble too.
Right. Yeah. That's what I did. And then I can't remember exactly how I found you, but I'm sure it was just looking
at continued research because you are very hungry for research.
Yes, I am. I know it kills me sometimes. I'm constantly reading and looking stuff up. I mean, I feel like I'm sometimes my own worst enemy.
No, I'm the same way. I fall down the Wikipedia rabbit hole on a daily basis. It's totally my problem.
Well, good. There's more than one of us. Yeah. So I had found my doctor through Happy Herbivore. And then I started following your blog as well for a little while before I actually signed up for the meal plan. And I don't know what it was. Just one day I was just like, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's just see if this will change anything.
And
it did. I when I started, I was at 165. And now I weighed myself this morning and I'm at 145.
That's great.
So, yeah. So at first it was so slow. And then I had like a month where I think I lost like 6 pounds and that was the best month that I had. But it's been slow, but you know, I feel great and clothes are feeling great. And
when it's a slow loss, it's really sustainable too.
Yes, I agree.
It's not, and you're not killing yourself. You're not at the gym 10 hours a week.
Right. I know. I look back on that. I was like, I don't even know. I don't even know how I managed to do that. But it was also, I think it was probably good because of the stress of my husband being gone. And then I had 2 kids. My kids at the time were 3 and 1. So it was kind of.
And I am so just in awe of you and inspired by you because I feel like most women with 2 tiny little babies whose husband is being deployed to a war zone and you were all alone, and the fact that you didn't like succumb to like the easy choices and the convenience food and the junk food to like, you know, I would just be like chocolate all the time to make myself feel better and get through the day, but not you. You were like, yeah, I'm going to go work out 10 times a week. I was like, this woman is amazing. She's 2 babies. Her husband's gone. And where most of us would probably drown our sorrows in a bottle of wine and a pint of ice cream, she goes to the gym. She's amazing.
Well, I definitely drowned a lot on wine. It was after working out. So.
But I was just like, wow, that's incredible. But no, and my brother-in-law is in the Army. He still is. And every time he goes, he's deployed, you know, my sister-in-law is like, it's strange, but I get into this kind of routine and I actually like really start like making good habits. And then he comes home and it's to poop.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's the truth. That is. It's and just like, everything goes out the window.
And the more I meet military partners, I'm like, oh, this seems to be a trend.
Yeah.
Which I don't get it. They've been like gone for so long. They want to like really kind of live in a little bit of decadence. And then you're kind of like, well, I want to celebrate too.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Oh my goodness. So you mentioned before that you had two kids, and I know one of them calls themselves, is it a rabbit or a fruitarian?
So, yeah. So my daughter has labeled herself as a fruitarian because she loves, loves, loves fruit.
Oh, that's so cute.
It is. But she really is not a big veggie eater. She'll eat cucumbers, occasionally carrots. But other than that, that's it. And my son is the total opposite. The only fruit he likes is bananas and apples.
Huh.
But vegetables, he will eat up, no problem. So he calls himself a rabbit.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, too, because, you know, people are always saying, what will my picky kids like? And here are two children from the exact same mom and dad being raised exactly the same. One loves fruits, the other loves vegetables. I mean, it's great that they love fruits and vegetables, but it's just so funny. I'm like, I just don't think we can figure kids out.
No. They're so much alike, but so different. I mean, they're boy, girl, but they're mm-hmm. just, their personalities are just completely different. So, yeah, they're fun though. They're fun.
So since we still have a little bit of time, I wanted to ask is I know that you're currently studying nutrition, which is amazing, but you currently are working for a company that provides Medicare and Medicaid, and those are really big issues. And so, you know, we're always hearing like healthcare is really self-care and like the healthcare costs are getting so high because so many people have so many illnesses. And I just thought you might have a really interesting perspective on this whole kind of mess we're in.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to work in healthcare and know about nutrition. And I mean, I'm no expert by any means, but I feel like I'm learning. I'm constantly learning. And really from my standpoint, what I do and where I work at this moment, it feels like there's just nothing you can do about it. So I'm an analyst, and my company provides Medicare and Medicaid to the Northeastern region. And I work in on the enrollment department. So a lot of what I do just basically has to do with, you know, enroll, making sure everyone is enrolled properly. But I have been on a few employee work groups. As far as the last one I worked on was colorectal cancer work group, where we were trying to encourage Medicare members to get their exam for colorectal cancer. And that was interesting. Not really anything to do with nutrition, but it, you know, little side note.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But really, the whole healthcare and self-care, I feel like it's so way above my head that all I can really do is, you know, when people come to me for advice, I just try to, you know, give them the best advice possible.
One thing that I heard, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, is one thing I heard in a previous podcast this season was saying how when people go to the doctor's office, whether they're on, you know, their own insurance or whatever, they want to leave mm-hmm. with something. And so they leave with a prescription. Like that it's people want to go. They don't want to leave with advice. They want to leave physically with something like a prescription. And I was wondering if you just, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh my goodness. I despise prescriptions. I hate them. I really believe that we can solve our problems by what we put in our mouth. Well, not all our problems, but health issues.
Our health related ones health related issues. To food. Yeah.
Yeah. So my physician, actually, when I first met her and she diagnosed me with the early menopause, she gave me a prescription for a low-dose estrogen birth control pill to help with my hormones and bone health. And I hated it. I told her at first that I don't want to do it at all. And she just looked at me and put her hand on my knee and said, please, I highly encourage you to take this. So I walked out with my head down.
that makes me so sad that she didn't even want to explore another opportunity or option with you.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, but what can you do sometimes?
Yeah, it reminds me of, I have had, well, prior to being Whole Foods plant-based, I had a lot of problems also with my period and my menstrual cycle. And I remember I was having really bad cramps. And they were just really, I couldn't even go to school. And I kept going to different doctors. And every doctor just wanted to give me pain medicine, like oxycodone and Oxycontin. And I was just like, I don't want to take that for cramps. I'm like, has to be something I can do. There has to be something I can do. Finally, one doctor suggested I exercise, and it seemed to help a little, but no one ever mentioned maybe changing my diet or trying different foods or, like, you know, your new doctor who suggested sweet potatoes to you. I mean, I probably would have tried anything. And the same was with my acne. I had horrible acne. It was so embarrassing, so painful. I have very few pictures of myself when I was younger because I was so embarrassed. And I went to dermatologist after dermatologist who all wanted to give me like these crazy drugs or these really steroid like creams. And no one ever said like, hey, maybe try not eating dairy or wheat or, you know, I mean, anything. I would have tried it to have clear skin. But it's like, it's interesting to hear that seems to always be the case with a lot of times is they just want to write you a script for something. And even when and I hear this too a lot with our members in the forums in the group and even here on the podcast, and I'm sure you've seen it in your line of work where people will go back to their doctor and, you know, the plant-based diet helped them get off their insulin or whatever. And the doctor's like, oh yeah, I've heard about that. And they're like, well, why didn't you recommend it to me? Oh, cause you know, people don't want to do it. Well, let me make that decision.
Yeah. I feel like doctors are just lazy. And I mean, and I understand they're in a crunch for time too, cause there's so much pressure to get so many patients in such a short period of time. But I just feel like, why did you become a doctor if all you're going to do is just write a prescription out instead of offer alternative ways to solve an issue?
I've been seeing, at least on the internet, you never know if it's true or anything, but I've been seeing like prescription pads from doctors where they'll say like, they'll write a recipe or they'll write watch forks over knives. And I always think that's so cool. And of course, like I said, it's the internet. So you never know if it's true, but I hope it is.
Oh, that would be great.
So what are you, so you are studying nutrition. Do you plan to do anything specific with that with your current job or are you going to explore something different?
My company constantly has job postings for health coaches and health promotion event specialists.
Oh, cool.
And I would love to be able to get into that.
That would be awesome, especially because you've had the experience of food being your medicine. And not just, I just remembered this. It wasn't just that, you know, you changed your diet to sort of deal with the early menopause and you stopped having the night sweats and the hot flashes, which is awesome. But you've also had a lot of joint pain because like you said, you were a big, big runner when you were younger. And then you were like kind of a bodybuilder there for a little bit. And you're in the military. And as we all know, people in the military have to do PT tests and training and stuff like that. But you've also had like joint issues. Issues and nerve pain, and has the eating a plant-based diet helped with any of that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've had 3 stress fractures in my knee, and now I can kind of run, jog without any pain in my right knee. I had Achilles tendonitis, or I was in a boot for about 3 months couple years ago. Oh, it was awful, and it was during the winter time here in Pittsburgh, and it was just dreadful trying to, you know, get around in a boot. But, and now my Achilles doesn't bother me at all. And that started right around when I started this diet. It finally started healing up. It was just, before I really, you know, started the meal plan, my Achilles would just randomly just tighten up. I could barely walk on, you know, go up and down steps. It killed me. And now it's great. Now I haven't had any issues with it. The only thing that I'm having issues with, which just started, was I have sciatic nerve pain now. And that is just it's so sporadic. It'll just, at one point in the day, I'll be fine. And then 5 minutes later, I can barely walk. So I don't really know. I haven't seen a doctor, I haven't had anyone actually evaluate me on it yet. So I'm just kind of trying different things and stretching. Yoga helps a lot.
That's what I was just going to tell you is I know a lot of people in my yoga class who came to yoga because they had sciatica. And if you don't know what it is, you're very fortunate. It's extremely painful. But things like moving and definitely yoga has been known to really help.
Yeah. Sometimes I forget to stretch. First thing in the mornings is always great for me to just, you know, stretch it out. There's tons of yoga moves that actually are perfect for my right, I guess, buttocks side. That's where I get it. I mean, I feel like it's so deep in my right, you know, butt cheek that it's nothing. I can't put heat on it. I can't do anything to really solve it except stretch. Like, that's the only thing that really helps. So yoga has definitely been a lifesaver for this past, like, 8 months.
Yeah, the sciatic nerve runs all the way down your legs, which is why you feel it in your bottom and in your thighs and, you know, people all the way down to their feet. Mm-hmm. But it also will sometimes shoot up the lower back as well, because it's kind of right in the middle of the pelvis, like just before the lower back and then where your, like, hip is. And a lot of times it is like the tight hamstrings or the tight hips, which, guess what we get that from? Sitting on our bottoms all day. And mm-hmm. so stretching that out and, like you said, doing yoga definitely really helps. And I could see how stretching in the morning would be great. And if you're, you know, yoga is not my thing, you know, just bend forward, you know, protecting your back, that can make you feel better.
Yeah. And that's what I was doing this morning. I work from home 4 days a week now. And at work, we have those really awesome desks that go up and down so I could stand. Because sitting almost hurts worse when I'm actually having the pain. So working from home today, I just had a couple binders stacked up with my monitor up. So it was really nice. And I was just bending over. I could feel the tightness starting. But I was just bending over to try to touch my toes and stretch it out. And it helped. I haven't really had anything today, even though I felt kind of like the beginning of it coming on.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have that horrible pain, definitely check out yoga. And I, like I said, I've met a lot of people of all different ages in my yoga class from 20 to 80 who started yoga because of the pain, and it's helped them immensely. So I'm glad mm-hmm. to hear it's helped you too.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, it's been awesome having you on today, Sarah. And I really appreciated all your honesty and also, you know, really giving us that insight into Okinawans, because it's like, oh, how rare, how lucky, how fortunate, someone who actually observed. And I'm glad that, you know, you've been having such great success feeling better with food, and then it's inspiring you to do more with your studies. Is there anything else, any tip or insight or go get them attitude you want to share with your fellow members and all of our listeners today?
Just keep at it, everyone. I mean, it pays off. It really does. So
that's good. Yeah, no, keep at it. Even on the hardest days, be inspired by Sarah, who was a mom with two babies and alone and killing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had my, you know, my failures. But, you know, just get back up, try again. Every day is a new day. Every meal is a new meal. So
I love that. Yeah. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That is very much a thing I'm guilty of. But new meal, new opportunity. It's a new minute. So I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Sarah. And if you already are a member, you can talk to Sarah in the forums in the group. She's very friendly and very active. And like I said, very inspiring. And if you want to learn more, you can visit getmealplans.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please considering leaving a review. They really help and we really appreciate it, especially my co-pilots. They like to know they did a good job too. Thanks again. And thank you, Sarah, for coming on today and spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was tons of fun.
Oh, I had such a blast. Maybe you can come on again sometime.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks again, Sarah.